we'll hope you find the outline that's in your bulletin. And being as the technical difficulties don't work, you'll have to do your own note-taking today without any visual assistance. So find your outline and look for a pencil in front of you, a pen, and let's think about some things out of Matthew chapter 7. There's so much in the good news of Jesus that we don't always get it all, so I want to think of it with you. Going down in Matthew 7, I want to start reading verse 21. We're aware that this is Jesus, what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount, as he taught the disciples and others who were gathered around him. We've looked at a number of things in this section of Scripture about our heart and life being open to the Lord, seeking the Lord, wanting to know the Lord, and then seeking him. Then when the narrow gate, that we want to enter the narrow gate and to know the Lord that way. Talked about false prophets last week, watching out for them because they are around us. Today we come to another section of this, and it's sort of a continuation, really, of what Jesus had been saying earlier. Matthew 7, I'll start in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Different translations word that differently. How would you like to be in those shoes? To me, it's a warning and an awesome thought. Jesus talked about those who would say, Lord, Lord, but didn't really know him. So I want to think about this morning, be sure Jesus knows me. Be sure Jesus knows me, because he talked about this in this section of Scripture. So he talked about beginning to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to notice he didn't say everyone who says, Lord, Lord. It says not everyone. That is, there will be some who say, Lord, Lord, and mean it. So that when this day comes, we will not be in the boat of being told, I don't know you. So I want to think about it from that standpoint. I want to be sure Jesus knows me. It's one thing for me to know Jesus, but it's another thing for him to know me and to know you as an individual and claim you as his own. So I want to suggest some things that will help us think about that. So on your outline, the first thing you can write in is surrender to Jesus as my Lord. Surrender to Jesus as my Lord. Because I want to know for sure that I've already committed my life and that I have surrendered to him as Lord of my life. The scripture passage on your notes says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. As many as received Jesus. And notice he didn't say anything else. He didn't add anything. I like the song, In Christ Alone, we just sang. Because it talks about him being the foundation of it. As many as received him, that is, they take him into our life. It's more than just saying words. Because when Jesus talked about saying, Lord, Lord, some of them are just saying it, but it didn't mean anything. It didn't get into their heart. Didn't get into their life. But as many as received him, he said, we have the right to become children of God, those who believe in his name. That is, we trust him. Now, it means more than just saying, I believe God exists. The word believe means to trust, to commit ourselves to. It says that those who believe in his name are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you have to be born again. There has to be this spiritual transformation that God does inside us when we receive him and commit our life to him. And so I want to be sure that's happened. Can you say today, I know I have been born again? Can you say today, I know for sure that Jesus Christ is my Lord and I believed in his name and I know that he lives inside me. I know I belong to him. if you can, that's a blessing. Talk more about it as, later as I go. But I want to remind us of this. If you have never surrendered to Jesus as Lord, no matter what else you've done or said, that's where you start. You must say yes to Jesus as Lord, surrendering to Him. The other passage is in the life of Jesus after the resurrection of Jesus in John chapter 20. It says, after 8 days, the disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When you notice Thomas, you're familiar with the background. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared earlier. And so he doubted that Jesus was really alive. He said, I got to see the nail prints in his hand and touch his print in his side before I really believe he's alive. Well, when Jesus appeared, he invited Thomas to do an investigation and see his hands and his side. By the way, do you realize Jesus can stand investigation? If you're honestly searching, it's all right to ask questions. It's all right to seek. It's all right to look for answers because God doesn't mind showing you Himself if you really want to know Him. And so Thomas said he wanted to know. But when Thomas saw Him, the Bible doesn't indicate he even touched Him. But here's what Thomas said. My Lord, my God. He's acknowledging Jesus as Lord, surrendering his life to Him if he had not done so before. And Jesus said to Thomas, you've seen me, you believe. You've put your own eyes, you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There's a lot of us who have never seen Jesus physically, but we've believed. And in our hearts, we know that Jesus is alive. In our hearts, we know that He's come to us. I thought about another scripture that I didn't put in here, but in the book of Philippians, the scripture says about Jesus that He gave Himself on the cross, and God has exalted Him, given Him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to know, and I want you to know, that you've already bowed the knee before God. You've already come before Christ and said, Lord, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again and ascended. I have received you into my life, and I've bowed the knee. Because I've already bowed the knee to Jesus now, I'll be glad to do it then. Because there's going to be some people who are going to bow the knee that day that Scripture talks about, is going to bow and confess Him as Lord. Because it said everybody's going to do that. Who are going to wish they had confessed Him as Lord before that day. Because there's going to be a lot of people who don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Him as Lord when that day comes, you're going to be in a world of eternal hurt because you've never confessed Him. So I want to be sure that I surrendered to Him as Lord. Now, when I surrender Him to Lord as Lord, that means He has a right to run my life. I fear that sometimes we want to say, Jesus, you're Lord, but at the same time, I want to say, Jesus, let me help you run the show. I think we as human beings have trouble yielding to the Lordship of Christ. Because as human beings, we kind of want to do things our way, our time, and the way we want it. And Jesus says, no, you surrender to my Lordship. You give in to me. What I thought about is this. When you work for an employer, you go to work at X number of dollars per hour and X number of hours per day. Well, when you go to work for that employer, you have, in essence, you're being paid for what you get, for what comes your way. So you could say, well, now, let's see. Today, I don't think I want to work all day. I want to go out and go to the ball game this day. Is that all right? Or we say, well, you know, I'm tired today. I think I'll go home at noon. I'm going to go home and rest and spend the rest of the day. What does that employer have a right to do? He says, you're working for me, I'm paying for you, I have a right to tell you what I want, and I have a right to expect you to show up and be here because I bought you in a sense. I'm paying you. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus pay anything for your life? The Bible says He bought you with a price. So because He bought us and we agreed to the payment, he has a right to say to me and to you, this is what I want you to do, and because he is Lord, I acknowledge you have the right to tell me, because you paid the price for my soul. I belong to you. And my prayer is that we'll learn to yield to him more often. I would like to tell you that I yield to Jesus 24/7. But if I told you that, what would you tell me? But I want it to be more often. Can I grow in learning to yield to him more frequently and more fully in every in different situations? Because he is Lord, so that when this day comes and Jesus talks about accepting him as Lord, I can say, God, I've been trying to follow you. My desire is. Now, what do we do when we find out we know what he wanted us to do as our Lord and we didn't do it? What's our next step? It's called repent. It's saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. I didn't do it your way. I did it my way. Would you forgive me and put me back in under your lordship? Put me back in track again where I need to go. So when Jesus is talking about coming to this time when he says, Lord, Lord, I want to know I've surrendered to him now, and I know he is my Lord. He is my Savior. He has redeemed me, and I do belong to him. If you don't know that, my prayer is that today you'll commit your life to Jesus. You can leave here knowing that when this day comes, you can say, Lord, Lord, and mean it. He's not going to say, I don't know you, because we've already committed our life to him. Another aspect of this is, if you look at your outline, do God's will as evidence that it belonged to Jesus. Notice in verse 21, Jesus said, not everybody says, Lord, Lord, gets into the, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter. So let's think about doing the will of the Father. Because if he's my Lord, then I need to follow his will, his desire, his plan for us. So the next thing on your notes is follow Jesus' example. Follow Jesus' example about the matter of surrendering to the lordship of his Father and doing the Father's will. The scripture passage says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I certainly will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus said in his time here on earth, I came to do exactly what the Father sent me to do. Do you realize Jesus didn't come to do his own plan? He came to fulfill the mission of his Father, which ultimately was the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, all of that. But over and over, Jesus said, I can't do anything by myself in John 15. So Jesus said, if anybody ought to have the right to make up their own mind, it was Jesus. I mean, who else had the kind of intelligence and the kind of understanding Jesus had? And yet Jesus said, I came down here to do my Father's will, and I only do what I see the Father doing and what I know the Father wants from me. And so, because he's my example, I'm saying, I want to learn to do that better in my own life. So that's his example. Another aspect of this, the next thing if you're writing it on your notes, is accept God's will as perfect. We're talking about, he said, if you, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of my Father. I want to say, accept God's will as perfect. Now, when we talk about God's will, I want us to think about that. The scripture passage that we are familiar with says, therefore urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is so familiar to most of us, probably, in a Christian life. But he talks about surrendering our lives, don't be conformed to the world. By the way, are we being pressured to be conformed to the world in our society today? I think we are being more strongly pressured than I've seen in my lifetime. This is probably a sidetrack, but I never dreamed we would be where we are in this country today. I never dreamed I would see the things that are being proposed and accepted and adopted, and Christians being told they got accepted. I never dreamed we'd be where we are. We're being pressured to conform to the world. But he said, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the new of your mind. So you can prove. So that you can put into practice. So you can test. The word prove means to try it out, to find out it works. It means in a way to test drive it. Prove the will of God is, it's good, acceptable, and perfect. Now let me ask you, is God's will always, always good? Why do I resist it? God's will is good. It's always acceptable. And yet sometimes we struggle with accepting it. And the last word says it's perfect. Does God really know what He's doing? Does He really know how to guide our lives in the kingdom of God and for our own growth and our own benefit? Does He really, really know? The will of God, the Scripture says, is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. I need to learn to do that, receive that more often. When I know what God's will is. Now, how am I going to know what God's will is? The number one way is what? It's this book. There are many things that are already outlined in Scripture. You don't even ask Him what's God's will because He's already told us. And the other things that may not be directly told about directly, there are truths and principles that apply to every situation we're in that will help us know what the will of God is in the situation where it is. I've often mentioned maybe you want to buy a brand new vehicle. You know, you get that car fever. And you go look, and you go look, and you find stuff. I think God wants to buy this vehicle. But there are principles in God's Word that says, count the cost before you. And you look and say, now if I buy this, will it affect my ability to tithe? If I buy this, will it affect my financial picture and the way I'm handling my bills? Am I going to have difficulty? And if those things don't fit, then I need to say that's not God's will that I buy this because it's going to hinder me from fulfilling the mission that God's called me to do. It doesn't say in the Word of Scripture, don't buy that car. But there are principles and truths that will help you decide and know what God's will is. Besides that, as you pray, does God ever reveal truth to you? When you ask God, does He want you to do something? Does He have a way of letting you know? You can't explain it always, but He does want let us know what His will is. It's so much fun when you know what God says and you're doing exactly what He says. It really is. I delight in that. Those times when you just know this is what God wants me to do and I'm going to do it. It's based on Scripture. Now, God's will is always in harmony with Scripture. If it ever is in conflict with this book, then it's not God's will. You can always count on that. But I'm grateful to know God's will and to know that He clearly gives us those kind of pictures in our life. And so we seek to know. So we read the Word so we can know. We pray so we can know. I believe when He says God's will is good and acceptable and perfect, I mean, His plan is just right for each of us. I think God has a plan for every individual, not only the kingdom and all the things that He wants to do to save the world, but I believe He has a definite plan for every one of you and of me that if I follow it, I'll find out I like what He does. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean always I like it, but it's good. So when Jesus said, and not everybody says, Lord, but those who do the will of my Father, so I have to ask myself, am I doing the will of the God? Am I doing what I know God wants me to do? And I believe it is individual as each person is. Now, we need to be in worship. We need to be in the Word, all those things. But how we live that out as individuals. Because God made us all different. Aren't you glad? He made us all, and He made us that way because He wants to use us that way. So, on the other side of your notes, write in, be eager to do God's will. Be eager to do God's will. I not only want to be able to say, do the will of the Lord, but I want to do it because I'm eager to do it. Not a drudgery, not a duty, but be eager. Am I eager? I have to ask myself, am I really eager to do what God says, or am I sort of dragging my feet? Am I excited about God telling me something and saying, if that's what He wants, I'll do it? I got some scripture references I want to think about. First one says, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, have not ceased to pray for you, to ask you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He said he prayed that he may fill the knowledge of God's will in wisdom, spiritual wisdom and understanding. So what? You walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, is he saying we earn the right to walk before? No. We walk in a manner that represents him well. God never asked us to earn our right, our position. We receive that by faith. But because we belong to him, I want to live a life that is worthy of representation. That when others see him in me, that they recognize who he is. And I want to be able to a good picture of who Jesus is. We've all thought about that before, but some people's picture of Jesus depends on each one of us. Because there are people around us who don't know Jesus, and their picture of Jesus is influenced by what they see in us who say we belong to Jesus. And I want to give a good picture. So I'm saying, God, help me to walk in a manner worthy, to be godly, thoughtful, careful, kind, all the things that God's Word describes. I want to live worthy of him, to please him in all respects. To please him in all respects. The desire is eager to please God. If I find out what he wants, okay, let's do it. That's what you want? Let's do it. That kind of attitude. That I might bear fruit and increase in the knowledge of God. The other passage similarly says, therefore, always being of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We have good courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body, to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. We always belong to him. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight, prefer to be absent from the body, to be with the Lord. We have as our ambition, our goal, our desire, our eagerness. Whether I'm home, whether I'm here or there, at home, in the earth or in heaven, I want to be pleasing to God. I want that. One of the great rewards, I believe, would be for God to say to us like he did in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, when he talked about the talents, to the man who had got to five and the guy who got two. You remember what he said? Well done, good and faithful servant. He's saying, I like what you did. I want to please God. If I please God, do I have a better quality of life? If I please God, do I have more meaning in life? If I please God, do I have more joy and satisfaction? If I please God, is it going to be easy? No. No. But it's good. It's good. And so I remember, when I think about, has Jesus done anything for you? Has he saved your soul and you know you're going to heaven? Has he guided your life? Has he blessed you? Has he given you health? Has he let you live in America? Has he given you family? Has he given you insights from the Word? Has he given you joys and delights of living in this country? And he's done so much that if I think about who he is, what he's done, why not want to serve him? The more I meditate on who he is, what he has done, and what he's going to do, because he isn't through yet. He isn't through yet. Because there's more to come in this life and ultimately in life to come with the Lord. So I want to remember that. So when I think about that, I'm eager to do. If he's done all that, then I want to serve him. I want to do his will. I want to please him. The next verse that's in that section says, a crowd was sitting around him, talking about Jesus, and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering him, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking at those who are sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. He who does the will of God is identified with Jesus as his brother, his sister, his mother, his family. Now, I want to ask you, is that pretty good or not? I want to be eager to do God's will, because when I do his will, it identifies me to belong to Jesus and the family of God, which is wonderful to belong to. And the good news is I belong to the family of God forever, not just for the moment. So when Jesus talked about not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the Father's will, I'm saying, God, I want to be one of those who's doing the Father's will. The Father's number one will, first of all, is to receive his Son as Savior and Lord. That's where we start. The only way to know the will of God for your life is to begin by confessing Christ as Savior and Lord, inviting Him into your life, and begin to follow Him. That's number one. Out of that, you can learn the will of God and other things. But you'll never know the will of God until you know Jesus. It's impossible. Will not be. So the last thing on your notes is rejoice in the confidence that Jesus knows me. Rejoice in the confidence that Jesus knows me. Jesus said, not everybody says, Lord, will enter, but those who do the will of my Father. He said, some are going to say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me who you have practiced lawlessness. I don't know about all that's in that passage. I want you to notice it says, they say they did it. It didn't say they actually did it. That's one of the things that crossed my mind. Jesus said, they will say we did it in your name. But I know they're demonic forces who do stuff, so I'm going to discount that. So what I hear Jesus saying to us is this: I need to be sure I belong to Him and I'm not doing it in the flesh. Can you and I do religious works in the flesh? And when I do them in the flesh, they don't accomplish a thing. Unfortunately, I've done them in the flesh, and I don't like it. Have I ever preached in the flesh? Yes. And I don't like it when I get through. There's a difference. And so when we teach, we preach, we serve, we minister, we don't do it in the power of the Spirit, yielding to Christ, not doing it in our own will. Not doing it. I want to be sure I'm belonging to, I'm yielding to Him, and I'm yielding to His Lordship, and I'm following Him. I want to be sure that's true. But because of who He is and because of what He's done, I can rejoice in the confidence that Jesus knows me. Two passages on your notes. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from all wickedness. Does He know you? Can you say, Jesus knows me? It's a good question. Because I sure don't want to get to the place that Jesus talked about, which appears to be at the end of time when He gathers all together and then He says, I don't know you. I think that's the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to a person, is hear Jesus say, I don't know who you are. I've never known your Savior. You've never known me. I don't know you. Depart from me. Is that going to happen to some people? Yes. I don't want it to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to me. I can know for sure because of my commitment to Christ. If Jesus saves you, doesn't He know He saved you? He knows you. The other passage says, this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that is given to me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that whoever beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. The will of the Father, Jesus said, is that those who belong to me, those the Father has given me, and that who's He give him? Those who believe in His Son, Jesus. It will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Listen, are you sure? When the last day comes, how are that different opinion of how that's going to happen? But when He comes, does He know you, and He's going to say, I'm going to raise you up? The Bible talks about a time when He raises the dead. Resurrection comes, and people who are alive will meet Him, and those who are dead in Christ rise out of the ground. Is He going to raise you? Do you know that? I think what Jesus challenges us here in this passage is, I want to be sure ahead of time that I'm not just saying the words, Lord, Lord, that I've yielded my life to Him, and my desire and goal is to live under His Lordship now, so that whenever this final day comes, He's going to know me because I belong to Him. And I want to serve Him well. I want to be eager to do anything He wants, because of what He's already done for me, and I know it's coming, with the assurance He said, I myself will raise you up on the last day. I can rest in that confidence to help me serve Him. Let's bow together. Do you know Jesus? If this passage of Scripture, does Jesus know you?